Let's read together Psalms 128 and 129. In Psalm 128, we see that individuals and nations that fear the Lord will be blessed. And in Psalm 129, we see that individuals and nations that hate Israel will not be blessed. Let's begin by reading Psalm 128. Psalm 128, beginning with verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Let's begin our study of Psalm 128 with some background notes. Probably the first question that comes to mind when we read the promised blessings of this psalm is whether these promises are just as good today for the faithful believer as they were for Israel in Old Testament times. What's the answer here anyway? The answer is not just a simple, straightforward yes or no answer. Let me explain by making a couple of points that must be kept in mind when dealing with this matter. Number one, when we come to the New Testament, we see that the emphasis is on spiritual blessings, not on physical or material blessings. In fact, no health and wealth blessings are promised to Christians. But every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer is guaranteed to every Christian who walks with the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Ephesians 1:3. Number two, another point that must be kept in mind when considering these Old Testament promises for faithfulness is that even in Old Testament times, we know that these were general principles because there are plenty of cases in the Old Testament where the righteous suffered and the wicked prospered. Think of all the Psalms that voice these situations. Think of the godly families that were taken away as captives to Babylon, away from their happy homes and tables in Israel. A third point that must be kept in mind when dealing with this important question, and that is the question of what other factors are involved. Is the godly person called on for a special test, like Job, for example? Is the godly person a special case like Joseph, as a slave in Egypt, for example, or like Hannah, who was not blessed at first with children? Were the godly families that didn't receive rain on their farms for 3 years during Elijah's time part of the larger factor of God's discipline of the nation? So even in the Old Testament times, these wonderful promises were general principles and continue to be general principles today, as long as we recognize these important points that we've made, especially the further revelation of New Testament Scripture. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 128. The individual or nation that fears the Lord will be blessed. The individual or nation that fears the Lord will be blessed. Fearing the Lord in these verses does not mean cringing in terror, of course, but rather showing honor and reverential respect for the Lord. Now notice what is promised to everyone who fears the Lord in this way. Happiness and blessing in your work, verse 2, and happiness and blessing in your home, verses 3 and 4. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Again, these are general principles, and the points we made under our background notes must always be kept in mind. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." All these things would not only include our basic material needs, but our basic emotional needs as well. And that would certainly include our general happiness in home and work. In verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 128, we see that God's blessing for honoring him is not just confined to individuals within Israel, but to the nation as a whole. Verse 6, "The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." The prayer for the peace of Israel in verse 6 is certainly prophetic. The peace and prosperity of Jerusalem will come when the Lord returns. The prerequisite for blessing is the same for any nation and the individuals who make up that nation. The individual or nation that fears the Lord will be blessed. Practical application for Psalm 128. Praise the Lord when you are a grandparent. Praise the Lord when you are a grandparent. But you say, why should I praise the Lord when I'm a grandparent? That means I'm old and over the hill. Listen, praise the Lord when you're a grandparent because it is a blessing from the Lord. Verse 6, "Yes, may you see your children's children." Becoming a grandparent means you are getting on in years. But what a blessing to see your children's children, especially if they are being brought up for the Lord. Praise the Lord when you are a grandparent. Let's continue reading the first four verses of Psalm 129. Psalm 129, beginning with verse 1. "Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth." Let Israel now say, "Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked." Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 129. The me here in the first part of this psalm is the nation of Israel, personified by the author, maybe King Hezekiah, as we've mentioned. The many persecutions that Israel had experienced in her history are likened to deep furrows being plowed on Israel's back. Verse 3, "The plowers plowed on my back. They made their furrows long. But God in his mercy had cut the cords of the wicked." Verse 4, "The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked." Now the idea here is either that the reins of the plowmen were cut or the ropes of persecution were cut. In either case, there was relief for Israel and the enemies did not prevail. It's hard to miss the prophetic picture here of the sufferings that our Lord went through before his release and the relief that came with his resurrection. Listen to Isaiah's prophecies concerning our Lord's sufferings. I'm reading Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting." Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6. The scourging that the Lord went through for us left his back like a plowed field. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 129. The individual or nation that hates Israel will not be blessed. The individual or nation that hates Israel will not be blessed. Verses 5 through 8. Psalm 129, beginning now with verse 5. "Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. Neither let those who pass by them say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you.' We bless you in the name of the Lord." Listen to the Abrahamic covenant as given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I'm reading Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. From Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. This unconditional covenant given to Abraham and his descendants is certainly backed up here in Psalm 129, isn't it? Those who hate Israel and the Jewish people would be brought down, verse 5, and made like grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up, verse 6. Let all those who hate Zion be put to shame and turned back. Let them be as the grass on the housetops, which withers before it grows up. That is like the short-lived grass that tried to take root in the thin soil on some of the flat roofs in ancient Israel. Certainly this grass was not enough to harvest, verse 7, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, nor he who binds sheaves his arms. The enemies of Israel would not receive the typical Israeli greeting, which included the blessing of the Lord, verse 8. Neither let those who pass by them say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Now let me ask you, is the Abrahamic covenant still good today, including the blessing or curse, depending on how Israel is treated? Answer, yes, it is. Follow the history of individuals and nations with respect to their treatment of Israel, and you'll see the proof. Anti-Semitism carries a huge cost with it. The Abrahamic covenant has never been removed or changed. The Mosaic covenant ended with Christ, but not the Abrahamic covenant. Read Romans chapter 11 in this connection. The individual or nation that hates Israel will not be blessed. And that brings us now to our practical application for Psalm 129. Take heart, the enemy will not prevail. Take heart, the enemy will not prevail. Verse 2. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Remember, the psalmist is speaking for Israel here. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. Think of the many enemies of Israel down through history, even to this present hour. But Israel is still here by miraculous preservation. The enemy has not and will not prevail. The same is true concerning the church. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And the same is true concerning our souls as well. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, that the Lord keeps us safe and secure from Satan, the enemy of our souls. We may be persecuted, even martyred, but take heart, the enemy will not prevail.